but right now we are going to focus on San Diego State football. One of our all-time favorite guests on this program, Gwynn and Chris, Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., broadcasting from Petco Park. And I understand that our next guest is going to actually be at Petco Park tonight.
I heard that.
Yes, Rocky Long, the head coach of the San Diego State Aztecs football team, going to come out and enjoy some baseball tonight, huh, Rocky?
Of course. I love the Padres, and every chance I get, I go to games. I've been to four or five this year, and I think they're fun to watch. They're exciting. They're more athletic. They got some energy about them. They got guys that can hit home runs. What else you need to go watch a game?
You don't need much else, Coach. Like, I got to ask you, when you've been to the five games you've been to, if there was an athlete on here that you could see on that gridiron, who would it be?
I think there are several of them. I think Tatis could play football. I think a couple of those guys in the outfield that are hitting those home runs, I think they could play football. Machado is the most amazing athlete I've seen as far as fielding. I mean, he makes hard plays look so easy. So obviously he's a good enough athlete to play anything he wants.
There you go. Rocky Long's Aztecs open up the season at the, what is it, the first Saturday in September or the last Saturday in August? You playing in August this year, Coach?
Yeah, I think we play on August 31st is our first game. This is a little earlier than most, but it's based on a lot of different things that I don't understand. I just play when they tell me.
Well, tell us how things are coming along. The quarterback situation, I know, is probably something on Aztec fans' minds, and give us a little rundown of what you've seen so far and what you're still working on.
Well, we're still working on a lot of things. I think that after last season, even though we had a winning record and we went to a bowl game, I think everybody was disappointed. I think fans were disappointed, but more important, I think that we were disappointed as a coaching staff, and I think our players were disappointed. So we've made some changes schematically, but mostly we're changing some attitudes and some want-tos and that sort of thing, and that's going real good. We had a good off season. We had a great spring practice. They're back at summer school now working out. They got a great attitude. And now we've got some question marks. It's not a quarterback. I think Ryan Agnew is our starting quarterback, and he started six games last year. So he's got some experience. We've changed our offensive formations a little bit, not our offensive mentality. But I think we've got a chance to be a good team. And there's some question marks maybe in the D-line. We're a little shaky there in our offensive receivers haven't done what they're going to have to do this year for us to be successful.
Coach Long, we had you on a few times during the season last year, and one thing that was apparent to Chris, now this was a relatively young team. How much progress do guys make from year-to-year basis in your experience?
Well, it depends on the guy, but obviously I think the maturity factor makes a huge difference the closer you get to the line of scrimmage. So the offense and defensive linemen, just by maturing, get much, much better from year to year. Now, the farther you get away from the ball, if you're a wide receiver or a defensive back, it's more about athletic ability and less about maturity. So they come in and they can play right away, and they get a little bit better, but maybe not as much better as the guys close to the line of scrimmage because that's a maturity factor.
Rocky Long is with us, and you Aztec fans do need to know this. Aztec season tickets are on sale now. You can call the SDSU ticket office, 619-283-7378, or visit GoAztecs.com for more information. Or just drop by wherever Rocky's sitting at the game tonight and ask him for a pair. Sure, he'd be more than happy to sign you up. Hey Coach, Weber State's the first opponent. You know your fan base is going to look at the second opponent, which is UCLA. You're a coach. You're going to tell me that you're going to focus on Weber State first, and then you'll get to UCLA. But you're very honest also, so I'm going to just ask you, are you going to at least think a little bit about that UCLA game as you get ready for this season?
Well, you've led me into this. We prepare a preliminary game plan for our first three opponents. So we watch every film from last year. We do a scouting report on them. We do a initial offensive and defensive game plan against our first three opponents. And we put the same amount of time no matter who they are in there. But the trick is not to overlook anybody. And Weber State last year got to the semifinals in the national tournament at the FBS or the FCS level. And that
so
is like
good.
Sac State, who gave us trouble last year and all those sort of things. We have no issues getting excited about playing UCLA. Our players won't have any issues. They, you know, we enjoy playing those Pac-12 guys. That's kind of our deal. We like playing them, and, you know, a lot of times we beat them, even though they don't think we can or shouldn't. But they're no more important than anybody else. Really, the one I want to beat is Fresno.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that obviously will be a big matchup this year. Coach, you talked a little bit about it, having the same mentality, maybe different formations on the offensive side. How much different can San Diego State fans expect to see when it comes to the offense this year?
Well, I think to the average fan, it's going to look a lot different. Obviously, we're not going to be under center. The quarterback is going to be in the shotgun probably 99% of the time. There's going to be at least three wide receivers out there. At times, there's going to be four wide receivers out there. So everything's look a lot different, and the action of the plays will look a lot different. What is not different is our mentality. We want to run the ball first. We want to use play action pass. We're trying to relate to our players who came up running the spread formations all the way since they've been little league players. So they're more comfortable and they can perform at a better level.
And you talked about looking inward with the program and changing some things during this offseason. You said it starts with me and it goes right on through the coaching staff and through our program. You kind of touched on it a little bit already. You said you're going to improve the want to, the attitude, et cetera. Anything else that you discovered just looking back through last season that you feel like you can improve upon so that this year ends up a little bit happier for you?
Well, I think it's going to end up happier. Obviously, changing the way we line up on offense, not our mentality, but the way we line up on offense, that is a change to make it simpler for our offensive personnel. It's easier on the quarterback since he's been doing that his whole career since he started playing football. It's actually easier on the offensive linemen because when you send wide receivers out there, people send defenders out there with them. So the area around offensive linemen, there's fewer people for them to figure out who they're supposed to block, so it makes it easier on them. So those are some of the schematic things we've changed, but a lot of it has to do with us wanting to play like we should want to play instead of worrying about a lot of things that we shouldn't worry about.
I think some people are going to pay the price.
Oh, indeed.
Because it was a good season last season. I'll always take a good, successful season with a bowl game. But you know, Coach, you've built our expectations up a little bit, and we all love that, and I know you love having those expectations. So good luck bringing the Aztecs back up another couple of notches here in 2019, and maybe we'll try to find you here at the ballpark tonight. Thanks a lot for your time, as always.
I appreciate it, guys. Go Padres.
Hey, there he is.
That's, go Padres.
Who wins their interview with a Go Padres? Not
Same.
Even Padres interview end with Go Padres. Rocky Long on the SDCCU hotline. Vote SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Reader's Poll daily at SDCCU.com/vote. San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better.
Without further ado, joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline on Friar Friday is outfitter Will Myers on the line. Will, how you doing today, brother?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing?
We're good.
We're doing fantastic. Nice win for you guys yesterday. You find yourself in the two-hole, back in the two-hole yesterday, draw two walks. You struggled a little bit, and you started to seem like you're coming out of it a little bit. How are you feeling at the plate right now?
Yeah, you know, starting to turn around, you know, as the season goes on over a course of 600 at bats, you have some good ones, some bad ones, and, you know, you run through a stretch that can be tough at times. But, you know, you just want to find ways to be productive. You know, right now I'm not really squaring up balls. You know, it's nice to be able to work some walks. Any way to get on base right now, especially when you're not feeling hot at the plate, is nice. And to be able to go out there yesterday and get two walks was nice.
Will, did Andy Green – talk to you about moving into the number two spot in the lineup, or is that just something that the skipper writes your name in and you just go out and play wherever he tells you to play and whenever he tells you to play?
Yeah, no, that's what you do. You know, wherever Andy writes the lineup in, you know, that's where you go out there and play. You know, it's been nice to be able to kind of move around this year, you know, be able to move places that, you know, in the order and on defense, you know, whatever it takes to be able to help the team and have some versatility there, you know, on the offense and defensive side. So, wherever he thinks is best for me to play that day is where I want to play.
Well, I have to ask you a little bit about the, I don't want to say it wasn't a new addition, but a return addition to you guys' lineup yesterday. It just seemed like the energy level was up. What does having a guy like Fernando Tatis Jr. back in the lineup really do for not only for the lineup, but for the entire team?
Yeah, no, just for the entire team, man. He's a spark plug, and you know, not only does he do it on the defensive side, but or on the offensive side, but the defensive side as well, man. I mean, this guy makes plays that I haven't made before. He's fast. I mean, he's honestly right now, just watching him over the last month, is you know, arguably the best player in baseball right now with all that he can do, man. He's great for our team. It's got nice being able to have him right there in that leadoff spot. You know, probably the fastest guy I have played with, and you know, this guy had a dirt ball read yesterday in a huge situation that was honestly the best dirt ball read I have really ever seen. I mean, I'm telling you, you know, but he does those things. He does those things regularly. You know, he does something almost every day that's like, wow, dude, I have not seen that before. So it's a lot of fun, man, watching this guy play every day, watching him take care of business. He's beyond his years. You know, I know he's only 20 years old, man, but this guy can really play.
Will Myers is with us on Friar Friday's SDCCU Fan Hotline. How about the guys that you're sharing the outfield with this year? And I'm going to talk about all of them, Manuel Margot, but especially Hunter Renfroe and the big guy, Franmil Reyes. I mean,
right.
I haven't been around a guy like him in a long time who just brings a smile to your face, just probably just walking past him.
Right, yeah, no doubt, man. Both of those guys right there have been really special for us this year. I mean, I think I saw a stat that said, like, they've combined for 18 go-ahead homers this year. I mean, you know, if we didn't have those two guys, I don't know where we'd be. It's nice to be able to, you know, when you see Hunter or Franmil coming up to bat, you know, something special is about to happen, man. And, you know, honestly, you know, doing on both sides of the ball, Franmil's playing a great defense, and Hunter out there right now, man, he's playing one of the best left fields in the game. And, you know, and everybody's talking about these guys for All-Stars, but Hunter Renfroe is right there for that, man. This guy comes through for us all the time. Franmil the same way, man. He brings energy to the ballpark. He's a great teammate, and he's done a lot of great things this year.
San Diego Padres outfielder Will Myers joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Will, you touched on it a little bit about the ebbs and flows of a very long season. From a mental standpoint, when you're going through those rough stretches, is there something particular that you look to do, or is it just one of those things you just got to strap it on and just keep going out there until things change?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, man. You know, you can, you know, sometimes you know, you need to grind in the cage, really work on some things, and there's sometimes you just got to take a step back from that. You know, the last week or two, as I've started to swing the bat a little bit better, I've kind of backed off my work in the cage because every day I was coming in, I was, you know, beating my head in the cage, trying to play, and finally I kind of just let it go and, you know, just go out there and play and have fun, and that's kind of turned into some better at bat. So it's a give and take with how it goes, man. There's a time and place for everything, whether it be grinding the cage, taking hundreds of swings, or sometimes just taking BP and going out there and playing. You know, sometimes you need to change up the feel. For me, this time it's kind of actually been backing off a little bit and just letting my swing go out there and play. But you know, you go through struggles each and every season, and each struggle is different. And you know, you got to find a way each time to figure out what's going on and make those adjustments.
Yeah, and then every now and again you lock into one like you did the other day, and you hit it about 600 feet over the hedges in center field. I would like to know how somebody goes about doing that. And it's probably got to drive you crazy as a baseball player, because you do that, and then you know you might come up and ground out to short two or three times in a row, and you figure, how did I do
crazy.
That one at bat?
Huh? Right, it is crazy, man. I mean, you know, these guys, these pitchers are really good, man. They're throwing the ball harder and sharper than they ever have. In this game right now, and these guys are good. They get paid a lot of money to get us out as well. But you know,
right.
It's just, you know, they so they're good too. But you know, it's all about making those adjustments, just trying to find something, anything to help. You know, just try to put a stat in the scorebook every game, whether it be a walk or a stolen base, a run, whatever, an RBI, whatever it is. Anything to help this team win, man. It's a very fun team. We got a great group of guys, and it's been a lot of fun winning this year.
Well, Will, we're going to let you get out of here. We appreciate your time, man. Continue to keep rolling, man. You've looked good over the last couple of weeks, and we wish you nothing but the best, brother.
Sounds good, fellas. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Will.
Will Myers, joined us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Vote SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at SDCCU.com/vote. San Diego Credit County Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better.
Get excited, Padre fans. It's Friar Friday on 97.3 The Fan.
Yes, indeed, it is Friar Friday. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Gwynn and Chris, we are here at lovely Petco Park, and it's time for our Big Five.
Sometimes there's just not enough time in the day to talk all the sports we want.
I feel reborn. I'm like a phoenix.
Settle in and saddle up. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
The Big Five is brought to you by Hans Premium Water Appliance. Imagine great tasting, crystal clear, odor-free, virtually contaminated-free water for drinking, bathing, and cooking. Hans Premium Water Appliances, really, 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 really clean water. Let's get to this Big Five.
Let's... I love to drink my water clean.
Me too. Oh, me too.
Yeah, baby.
I've heard that we have the cleanest water in the entire world.
Is that right?
I did hear that.
Oh, I did not know that. That is a nice little fact there.
Yeah. Really? We jumped ahead of Mongolia, huh?
I don't know.
Mongolia.
The last ratings I saw.
The last water clarity ratings you saw?
Yeah, last clarity ratings I saw.
All right, let's get to number five.
Number five.
The Philadelphia Eagles have signed franchise quarterback Carson Wentz to a four-year extension through the 2024 season, the team announced yesterday. The extension is for $128 million and includes $107.9 million of that guaranteed, including $66 million due at signing. Wow, that's a lot of money, a source told ESPN's Adam Schefter. So Wentz's total deal is now 6 years for $154 million and can grow to a max of $170 million. Chris, did he deserve this contract extension?
I'm going to say no, he didn't deserve it, but I'm going to say that this is the way the game is right now, and if you feel like you've got your franchise quarterback, and the Eagles obviously feel they do, then yes, they're doing the right thing. I'm not, you know me, I've been on the Nick Foles team for a long time here, and we'll see how it all works out with Foles now in Jacksonville and Carson Wentz, you know, whether he stays healthy and performs at that high level for the Eagles. But no, I don't think he deserves this kind of but I never felt like, for example, Ryan Tannehill ever deserved like $120 million, but Miami thought they had their franchise quarterback and it cost them. So we'll see if Carson Wentz turns out to win a Super Bowl or two, then they made a great investment.
Tony, what do you think? Do you think Carson Wentz deserved this contract extension?
No, he didn't deserve it, but I think it's smart for the Eagles, because what we know about football and the quarterback position, when a team has their franchise quarterback, they usually set the market with that franchise quarterback. So I think the Eagles are smart, because Wentz had two more years left on his deal. Mm-hmm. Had he gone through the 2 years, you're going to be dealing with another Cam Newton deal, there's about five or six quarterbacks that would come up with new deals in between that time.
Which would have made his deal worth way more.
Way more. So the Eagles, I think, did the smart thing and gave him his money now. He sets the market now, but in 2 years, had they waited, that market would have been much, much higher and they would have paid a lot more money.
So they're playing a game against the future.
They are.
It's a gamble. But I guess all of this stuff is a gamble. Yep. I mean, either Carson Wentz is, Wentz is lifting a Super Bowl trophy, or he's backing up Marcus Mariota.
Ooh.
You know, I mean, you could go from one extreme to the other when you sign these quarterbacks or these kinds of deals.
It happens fast.
For some reason, when he said Mariota, I thought of Mark Sanchez. That's why I gave the wolf.
Oh, no, nobody would be Mariota, backing him up.
No, Mariota's not terrible. He's not terrible. All right, let's go to number four.
Number four.
The Braves have won the Dallas Keuchel sweepstakes after reports are out he signed for 1 year and $13 million. ESPN's Buster Olney reported this. For context, in early March, the Astros offered Keuchel two possible deals, 1 year at $15 million or 2 years at $24 million. He is apparently so ready to go that Keuchel will make his first AAA start in Gwinnett on Saturday, tomorrow. So, Tony, do you think he got a good deal?
No. I think he got a terrible deal.
Really?
And it goes to, I mean, Atlanta is just holding guys hostages, apparently, because they've been able to come away with or we could, you could say that Donaldson got a good deal. He got 1 year, 24, but Acuna, Alves, and now Keuchel all settle for less. And in Keuchel's situation, he held out this long only to get $2 million less than he got for the qualifying offer from the Astros. So I get it. He's once again saying, I'm a bet on myself. I'm a bet that I'm going to go out here and have such a good year that teams will be forced to give me the deal I want. And it's not going to be as long as he was asking for this year. Obviously, he'll be a year older, so he's going to have to subtract some time off what he's looking for. But it's a gamble on himself as it pertains to this particular bit deal. No, I don't think he got it.
He'll be 32 on January 1st.
He's going to have to go out and have an unbelievable however long he's playing.
Carry him through the postseason
type of
thing.
Yes, one of those things that does, that's the only way he's going to get something what he's looking for, I believe.
Chris, do you think Dallas Keuchel got a good deal?
Well, I'd like to be Dallas Keuchel and have gotten that deal. All right, so let's just start with there. But, no, I thought after Craig Kimbrell signed and got like a three-year deal from the Cubs, that would help Dallas Keuchel's situation out immeasurably. It seems to me Keuchel, after being so patient for so long, panicked at the last minute and said, wait a second, I better take something right now because Craig Kimbrell signed and now I'm the only guy left. Kimbrell ended up with the steal of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, he got to sit out a half a season and still make $43 million. Keuchel had to sit out, give up half of his season, and give up a bunch of money all at the same time. And as Tony said, if Keuchel pitches 6-6 the rest of the season, he's going to be back in the same boat next year.
Yep.
Because no one's going to give him any offers in the offseason.
Would you say this could be a make or break deal for Dallas Keuchel in his career? Because he doesn't want to accept less money, but if he goes out there and he does something and he's not very good, then, you know, he's going to have to.
Do you guys remember the reliever Mattson? Ryan Mattson pitched for the Phillies. Good. Ended up signing, or, you know, kind of signing a deal, or was about to sign a deal, only to be, you know, I think it was Papelbon who ended up signing a deal before he did. And then everything kind of unfolded the wrong way. He ended up getting hurt, had to miss a whole season. And he's back now pitching, but he missed out on a whole lot of money by not taking the original offer. So, to your question, is this a make or break? I think it is. At the age of 32, the way the game is changing and getting younger, he's going to have a phenomenal season, I think, in order to get what he's looking for. Like I
heard something really interesting the other day about Craig Kimbrell not wanting to – he wouldn't accept most likely a eighth-inning role. He wanted that closer role. Do you think Dallas Keuchel maybe would move to the bullpen?
That would only make him make less money.
Yeah, but would that was a stupid.
You mean next year?
That was a dumb comment. I caught myself. Next year, not this year. He's
the reason why
this year.
Kimbrell doesn't want to accept an eighth inning role is because the eighth inning role gets paid.
Yeah.
Like the closer do. If you're a pitcher, you got to be a starter or a closer.
Yeah, that was a scrappy moment. Let's go. Let's move on.
Scrappy.
Number three.
If all the reports are true, the New York Knicks are going to be very active in the offseason. They are rumored to be going after Kevin Durant. Some have even said they're going after Kyrie Irving. And now the bell of the NBA Finals ball, Kawhi Leonard, is reported as being a target for the Knicks. According to Steve Popper of Newsday, a source said the Eastern Conference team is, quote, is expected to push hard for Kawhi Leonard. Popper acknowledged that a pursuit of Durant is certainly in the Knicks' plans, but pointed out there is a contingent in the Knicks front office that is enamored not just with Leonard's two-way talents on the court, but with the fact that he would bring little drama with him, end quote. Chris, could you see Kawhi Leonard being a Knick next season?
I could see me being a Knick next season before I could see Kawhi Leonard being a Knick next season. I don't care what reports come out of New York. I mean, I don't believe half of them. I think everybody's competing with each other. All of the newspapers and journalists and writers and reporters are all trying to be the first to get a name out there. The Knicks have been rumored to get every single player that has signed a contract in the NBA for the last 5 years.
It's true.
And they have gotten, as far as I can tell, none of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kawhi Leonard, that's the last place in the world he would want to play basketball. In New York City, with all that attention, Kawhi is, he'd be more, he'd take a half pay cut to stay in Toronto rather than go to New York City. That's the last guy the Knicks would ever get. And I don't even think they'll get Durant, and I don't think they'll get any of those guys because they're the Knicks and they'll mess it up.
Tony, what do you think? Do you think that Kawhi Leonard could be a Knick next year?
I think he has the makeup to be a Knick, but I don't think he'll be a Knick.
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Like he's a Knick as in like they're what they're known for as a team and a franchise? Like,
no, well, I say that because you got to have like a very stern, stoic demeanor about you. I think that's pretty much that definition is Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
He doesn't let anything bother him, which is something you certainly have to have. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he would – it'd be the first time there'd been an athlete in New York, at least to my recollection, where you weren't gonna get a rise out of him no matter what you wrote. And it would be hard to prove anything because he doesn't do anything. But, you know, go to the field or go to the arena and then back home. So
yeah.
I don't think it'll happen, though. Like Chris said, I think the chances of him going to New York and starting over like he did this year are very slim. So it's going to be Toronto or one of the LA teams is what I believe will eventually happen.
I mean, if he wins with the Raptors, you'd think he can't just take off, right?
I think it'd be easier to take off, actually.
I mean, LeBron kind of had that same message for Cleveland after he, you know, delivered their championship.
That's a whole different thing, though.
Why?
Cleveland versus – because he's –
It was the same thing after he won the second title with Miami. It was easy for him to say, all right, I've done my work here. I'm going to go back home now, which is what Kawhi would be doing.
And you will be forever known as the guy who brought a title
exactly.
to Toronto if you win and then leave.
So if you leave, it's not like everybody's going to be mad that you left. You brought them a title, their first one at
and
that.
And I hate to tell you this, that even if – the Raptors win the NBA championship, and they are sitting two games away from that right now. Toronto is and always will be a hockey town. That's hard for us to understand here, but Toronto is the mecca of hockey, and the Maple Leafs are king in Toronto. So Kawhi Leonard wins that championship. He'll forever be revered in Toronto, but not as much so as if he were a hockey guy.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't care about none of that.
No, he doesn't.
He,
but could you imagine him going to New York, though? I mean, and these guys trying to get a rise out of him with the questions after every game?
I could see it. You know who he kind of reminds me of? Probably a less talkative version of Allen Houston. A guy who just goes about it, much better player, but I'm just saying, as far as, like, you never heard anything about Allen Houston. He was there. It seemed like he was the type of guy that showed up to the arena, played, went home.
Yeah.
That's Kawhi.
Good stuff, guys. Let's move on.
Number two.
This one is a lot more serious. Former Arizona assistant men's basketball coach Emmanuel Book Richardson was sentenced to 3 months in prison and 2 years of supervised release on Thursday, yesterday, after pleading guilty in January to a federal bribery charge. The government was seeking 18 to 24 months for Richardson, and the government prosecutor argued, quote, the conduct was serious and has serious consequences. His job was to look out for them. He was doing the opposite, end quote. He went on to say that Richardson deserved a long sentence because the players and prospects whose eligibility was put in jeopardy because of his actions. So, Tony, is 3 months jail time enough punishment?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he impacted he possibly could have impacted some of these kids' life as far as college is concerned, but he didn't hurt anybody. He didn't, you know, physically harm somebody. He was put there, and listen, I know it doesn't sound like, but 3 months in prison is a long, let me rephrase it, 2 days in prison is a long time.
He'll think about it.
You think?
He'll have no choice.
I mean, that box is not big. It is not a cozy place.
I do not have experience, but I have been in there overnight before.
Ooh.
I was in college like the rest of us.
Find out about that.
All right, well, you may have to dig for that information, but I'm telling you, 3 hours is too long to be in prison. Let me tell you something. So for somebody who's a college coach, that is a gigantic
sentence.
It
might as well be 3 years.
It really is. And I hope that the message gets sent to the rest of these coaches out there, stay out of this. And I don't know what the difference was between his situation, the former Aztec, Tony Bland, right, for USC, he ended up getting probation.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read it through carefully to see what the difference was between this and Tony Bland's situation. I was glad for Tony that he didn't have to go to prison.
I was too.
But I really hope that all college coaches take this serious enough to realize that if they get their hand caught in a cookie jar, it's not going to be worth the risk.
I think this three-month sentence is a good thing from that standpoint because, listen, there's prison time behind it, no matter what you think.
There's enough to make you think about it, but not 100%. Enough to make you, you know, not enough to, that it's overboard.
Right. Sends the message that needs to be sent.
Thank you. Thank you. Man, I am struggling for words today. Let's get to the last Big Five topic
today.
Of the week.
Number one.
Hey, friend of the show, Richard Justice, wrote an article on MLB.com this morning with the title, Seven Trades That Make Perfect Sense. So I clicked on it, and the Padres were mentioned in the number one spot. Richard Justice is saying the Indians starting pitcher Trevor Bauer should be traded to the Padres because he says the Indians badly need offense, especially in the outfield, and that could put Buddy Reed, the Padres' number 14 prospect, Rosario, the Padres' number 19 prospect in the mix, as well as any number of some of the other guys coming up through the rotation or through the minor leagues. So, Chris, is Trevor Bauer someone the Padres need to go after?
I don't think so. Not yet. First of all, I'm not the world's biggest Trevor Bauer fan. I like him as a pitcher, but I got to be honest with you. He seems to come with a whole lot of baggage, and I don't necessarily know that the Padres need that baggage, number one. But that aside, let's just say you were just trading for a player. I still think the Padres should stay the course they're on. They're a game and a half out of the wild card spot. They are still playing games that matter. As long as they are playing games that matter, to me, there is no need to deviate from the plan that they have in place. And the plan they have in place is to continue to stockpile tons and tons and tons of talent. So I wouldn't trade any of it away for a run at a guy like Trevor Bauer. I caution anybody that trades for Bauer. The Pittsburgh Pirates traded two All-Stars to the Tampa Bay Rays last year to get Chris Archer. And Chris Archer's okay. But he didn't lead Pittsburgh to the playoffs, and he's not helping them a whole lot this year. But Austin Meadows and Tyler Glasnow may be leading Tampa Bay to a World Series now. So be careful when you trade young prospects for a guy in a half-season rental type situation.
Tony, what do you think? Do you think the Padres need to trade for Trevor Bauer?
No. And like Chris, I'm not the biggest Trevor Bauer fan. Feel like he pops off way too much for a dude that is just now starting to, you know, realize his potential. That being said,
So you're saying it's, yeah, never mind.
That being said, I just think when you look at this season, and I've said this all year long, the Padres need to stay the course. Maybe we have this discussion when the season's over and we move into the offseason, because the one thing that happens if you do make a trade is that the guys that are up here getting all this experience, pitching on their own, learning how to get out of jams, somebody's going to lose out because Trevor Bauer's got to pitch every fifth day. So I would wait. I would hold off. If I'm the Padres, I'm collecting as much data on the guys that I have and what they're doing in the 2019 season. After that's over, now in that, remember, 2020, that's the key number there, 2020. With that being said, you can start having that conversation in the offseason. And hopefully, you may have had some guys boost their stock during that time where you have to give up less, possibly, to get what you want out of Trevor Bauer, for a Trevor Bauer, or somebody like Trevor Bauer.
You said something interesting yesterday about Luis Urias and how he can only, if you don't bring him up, then his trade stock is the same level. Is that what you're talking about, them maybe boosting their trade stock?
Well, yeah. I mean, for Luis, for Urias, he's been up here twice, and he struggled both times. So big league scouts that are up here watching these guys, and granted, it's a small sample size. It's not a big sample size by any means, but it's the sample size they have to go off of. And you bring him up again, and he doesn't do well, that doesn't help his stock. Let him stay down there, continue to hit, and do his thing in AAA, because the thing is, we know from our society, we have a very short track memory.
Yes, we do.
So
we have a lady that sits close to the press box that has been screaming for Luis Urias to come back in the lineup. I hear her every night, four times a night, every time Ian Kinsler comes up.
You heard that last night, too. I heard it all the way up.
Oh, you heard it up even further up.
So
the fans don't remember that Luis Urias struggled when he was here. And I agree with you, Tony. I think other teams still feel there's value in Luis Urias, and the Padres do too, but the biggest risk of all would be to bring him up and have him struggle for a third time, because then he loses that value And now you really can't get anything for him if you do look to move him in a trade. I could, you know, everybody thinks Luis Urias is coming back this season. I'm not 1,000% sure the Padres are going to risk it with him. They may just keep him down there and see where this whole thing takes them.
This is bigger than his average. And that's right. The problem. People just get caught up in average. There's a reason why he struggled up here. There's something mechanically flawed in his swing, at least at the big league level. Big league pitchers can expose a lot of different things about your swing. So that's probably why he remains down there until they feel like he's been able to correct those things. Then you might see him back up.
Really, really strong big five from you guys today.
I think
Thank you. The bed,
man. The bed just puts you in a very, like...
The bed is good.
As long as you don't do that.
I know. I knew it. When I started that, I said, stop.
Basically, what I was going to say there was we turned in a very good big five despite the fact that you were kind of stumbling and bumbling and grumbling today.
That was bad. Really bad.
That's all for the big five from Gwynn and Chris.
There's nothing
on
yet.
97.3, The Fan.
But now, the Big Five is brought to you by Hahn's Premium Water Appliance. Great tasting, crystal clear, odor-free for drinking, bathing, and cooking, ladies and gentlemen.
Really, 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 really clear water.
Yes, indeed.
All right, we have a few minutes left in our Fryer Friday, and that means that he joins us.
Who's he?
Odd Thomas.
Ooh. Hey, guys.
Do you still not have an open for this segment?
It's coming.
It is not.
Yes.
You've said that every week for like 3 months.
Yes, but really, this time it is.
I keep introducing it, hoping that there's going to be a nice, cool open play for you.
I just wanted to make sure that we're going to stick with this.
We are.
Wow.
It's an excellent segment.
All right.
I would much rather have Odd Thomas than a bunch of your segments.
I will let you know, Chris. I have called Scraby each week asking, do I have an open yet? Do I have an open yet?
He asks every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day. And I'm like, every day I say, it's coming.
Not that it's a big deal, but is it ready?
Yeah, he does do that. It's not a big deal if it's ready or not, but is it ready?
Wait, have you asked him today yet?
Yes.
Yeah, we talked already, yeah.
Yeah, then ask him again.
Scraby is my open ready.
I told you, it's coming.
Odd Thomas comes on every Friday with some odd baseball facts. They always kind of make you go, wow.
Wow.
So as we get ready for tonight's Padre Nationals game, let's hear some odd stuff from Odd Thomas. What do you have for us there, sir?
Well, since you guys are giving me a hard time about always giving you Red Sox news, the Colorado Rockies started a rookie pitcher yesterday named Peter Lambert and versus the Cubs, and his 9 strikeouts was actually a Rockies franchise records for a first starter ever with the strikeouts. So 9 strikeouts is now the record set by Peter Lambert, the most in franchise history for a first career start.
You know, he threw 93 pitches in that game yesterday and pitched 7 innings at Wrigley Field. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, why is it that a Rocky pitcher in his very first ever game is allowed to pitch 7 innings and throw 93 pitches, where a Padre pitcher in his 30th game comes out of the game after 70 pitches and 5 innings?
You know, my mom always told me. She always said.
Your mom always told me.
Yeah, don't be jealous
I'm
of
not
what
sure
people.
Where I'm not sure I like where this one's going.
Don't be jealous of what people have. Be happy with what you have.
I see. So we should be happy with what the Padres have.
Yes. Mama Scraby.
I'm just saying, I get a little bit touchy about the fact that the Padres take out their starting pitchers a little too early. I think you know that.
Yeah, but Joey Lucchese, he threw 95 pitches last night.
He should have come out of the game. But there have been many times this year I feel both he and Lauer especially should be allowed to pitch another inning or so, and they're not. All right, good one, Thomas. Thank you.
All right, let's take a look at the Baltimore Orioles. So the 2019 Baltimore Orioles, 62 games, 62 different batting orders.
Wow. Both of us thought
that was crazy.
And we think Andy Green messes around with the lineup
a lot. Yeah, really?
Yeah, I had to do some research on that one, but Jim Passan had a great tweet about that.
Now, the one reason that the Orioles have done that is that they've been looking for a winning combination.
They haven't found
it. And they're 0-61 coming into tonight's ball game. Well, so that's the problem.
Chris Davis, they tried to move him everywhere. So
poor Crash Davis. You guys know that the Orioles one year, I think this is like right around when all you guys first came into the world.
Oh, I was going to say. So, 85?
I believe it was 19. Well, this was 1988.
All right.
The Baltimore Orioles opened the season, I kid you not, 0-21.
Wow.
Can you imagine that being your favorite team and having to live through that?
I mean, you and Tony have told me that you can luck into a few wins even if you're a terrible team.
You would think that just by happenstance you'd have to win a game in there somewhere. They were 0-21, and their manager for most of that was the great Hall of Famer Frank Robinson.
Oh.
It wasn't his fault. They just had no talent, and I mean none.
That was a good one, though. 62 different lineups in 62 games.
Yeah, the Orioles haven't gotten a lot better since then.
Apparently. No, they haven't. No.
All right, on Wednesday night, Chris Sale pitched a complete game, 3-hitter, 12-strikeout game, but it was in the 8th inning when he had an immaculate inning. Nine straight pitches, 9 straight strikes, 3 up, 3 down. So this was Sale's second immaculate inning this season. His first was on May 8th against the Orioles. He now joins Lefty Grove in 1928 as the only pitchers to have 2 immaculate innings thrown in one season.
Now, that is pretty crazy.
Lefty Grove did that in 1928. I can't believe
Do you really know that for a fact?
No, yeah. He just said that.
Oh, sorry.
So it's fact.
I didn't know that.
Oh, I thought Chris... my bad. I thought he just pulled that off the top of his head.
No. Thomas just said that. But I'm just amazed that they've kept track of every inning pitched in Major League Baseball since 1928, and they know that. Because it seemed to me like Nolan Ryan used to do one of those a couple of times a week.
Because he just threw 190 miles an hour.
He was untouchable, but apparently he didn't have 2 in 1 season. But it's an impressive achievement, although they are checking into Chris Sale's accomplishment now.
What?
And, yeah, they are, because they're going to count the one last night, but the previous one against the Orioles, they're checking to see if that was actually a major league team.
Oh. I see what you're saying. I was like, wait, how do they – I mean, if he threw 9 pitches, it's pretty easy to figure it out. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Orioles.
It was the Orioles.
They're terrible.
Wait, and who was his other one against? Was against the Royals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one doesn't count either then.
Yeah, the Royals are really bad too.
Yeah. Right.
All right, with the news of Dallas Keuchel signing with the Atlanta Braves, we're going to jot back to last season, 2018. No other pitcher or other qualified pitcher had a higher ground ball rate than Dallas Keuchel with 53.7. So that Braves infield's going to get a lot of work if he can replicate his production from last season.
He's a ground ball pitcher is what you're trying to tell me.
Yeah.
53.7% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they would have kept that stat when Randy Jones pitched, what it would have been. Because I don't think anybody ever hit a fly ball against Randy.
I've never seen Randy pitch. I'm going to go look up some stuff.
Find some footage, man.
I'm going to.
You won't believe how good he was at throwing the ball, just turning it over on the outside corner at the knees to right-handed hitters and getting them to swing out of their shoes and hit a ground ball to shortstop. He could do it in his sleep. And that's why he won the Cy Young Award.
I mean, he won
the Cy Young Award basically getting guys to hit ground balls to shortstop every single time, even though they knew they were going to hit grounders to shortstop and they didn't want to, they couldn't help it.
All right. Christian Yelich, we know, is probably hands down the MVP favorite again as of now. With his 23rd home run on Thursday, Yelich now has 59 home runs in his Brewers career, just doing it so in 772 at-bats. That matches his home run total he produced when he was in Miami, but he did that in 2,478 at-bats.
Wow. You know, I saw something the other day from Brewers Twitter going at the Miami Marlins, and they said something like, it was Christian Yelich hitting a home run, and they tweeted out the video of it saying, "Thank you, Miami, for giving us this guy." And then Miami
for basically nothing.
Yeah, and Miami tweeted them back like, "Hey, we just beat you guys 16-0.
They
did
beat them 16-0.
Get over it.
Well, part of that is Yelich, part of that is timing, but most of that is because Milwaukee's a whole lot easier to hit a home run out of than Miami's ballpark.
All right, I got one more for you guys. Dexter Fowler has bounced around the league since leaving Denver, but recently had decent stints with the Cubs and now the Cardinals. And today he became the latest player to have 1,000 career plate appearances for both the Cubs and the Cardinals, joining the likes of Lou Brock, Al Dark, and Peanuts Lowry.
Peanuts.
I love these names.
Peanuts was good, man. I'm telling you, don't mess around with Peanuts Lauer. He was tough. But the best player in there was Lou Brock, a Hall of Famer, who the Cubs traded to the Cardinals famously in 1964 and got nothing in return. And then Lou Brock went on and led the Cardinals to 3 World Series appearances.